Welcome into the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. I am Chase Goodbread, sports columnist with the Tuscaloosa News, joined by Travis Ryer, proprietor of Ryer on YouTube. Be sure to give it a like and a subscribe. Lots of great content, Alabama-related, some of it not Alabama-related. Great stuff on Ryer on YouTube all the way around. Be sure to check it out. It is the home of Talking Tide. Previewing Alabama, Georgia this week after a little bit of a respite. We did not air a podcast last week with Alabama being idle. The Crimson Tide, Travis, heads into biggest game of the season. I wrote on Monday, biggest game of Kalen DeBoer's tenure to date in a season plus against the Bulldogs over in Athens. High anticipation for it. Georgia comes in, coming off an idle week itself, and of course, a big win in overtime over the Tennessee Vols. Alabama off an idle week behind a resounding win over Wisconsin, and away we go.
We do, and a lot of news on the injury front. First and foremost, glad to hear that Jamarian Latham, it sounds like, is doing okay after what had to be just a scary situation. Chase, the veteran outside linebacker, spent part of his career at the defensive end position as well. You never like to hear that with necks and heads and upper extremities like that. But again, based on the comments from Kalen DeBoer here in the last 24 hours, sounds like Latham is going to be okay. But yeah, I mean, been a lot of positive news for Alabama again. It just seems like there's always this positivity for Alabama going into games. There's a lot of positivity going into Florida State. Now there's a lot of positivity going into the University of Georgia matchup, and Tim Keenan, Jam Miller coming back. And I think that's all being met with a hearty, well, show us if it's all so positive. Let's see it actually play out on the field.
Yeah, they need both of those guys to make a difference, I think. I don't think there's any question, especially Keenan, because you know Georgia's going to try to run that Nate Frazier, who's an outstanding back. Frazier, of course, Travis, you may recall, was recruited by Nick Saban. Nick Saban tried to get Frazier at Alabama, wasn't able to do it. He ends up at Georgia. Now he is the lead dog with a W in that backfield. And Alabama's got to deal with him, got to deal with Gunnar Stockton. But we know by now, over the last couple of years, Alabama's not Alabama. I'm not sure Georgia's Georgia either, Travis.
That is the one reason why my confidence level has even boosted a little bit throughout this week, is that I have to keep reminding myself, you know, this isn't, to this point anyway, this isn't one of those Georgia teams.
Right.
But what I sort of fall back to when I counter that is that what you saw against Tennessee is it is one of those Georgia type of teams, because they hung in there and they're resilient and they're not just talented. And even in the second half against Alabama and Tuscaloosa last year, we saw that after that 30-7 Alabama lead. So it's been a little bit of give and take for me, Goodbread. I need a pep talk. You know, I need a fiery speech at this point in terms of my confidence level for Alabama in this game. I don't know about you. Where are you at with it?
I'm afraid you're not going to get that pep talk here. You might look elsewhere for that. The spread grabbed my eye, Travis. Alabama is a 2.5 point. Last I looked, it may have moved. Last I looked, a 2.5 point underdog. To me, that number is awfully low. May end up being my pick of the week. We'll see. But yeah, if I had to put a dollar on this game and that was the spread, Travis, gotta take the home dogs laying less than a field goal, right?
Yeah. Well, I was countered. I tweeted that, you know, when that line first came out a couple of days ago, that I thought the 3 was low. That's basically a pick 'em when you take into account home field, right? And I was met with, well, there is historical perspective to take into account here. Well, I think the man likes it when you start doing that. You know, you start taking into account, well, you know, when Alabama went over there in 2008.
Right.
The man loves it when he starts hearing that type of talk.
He does. You know,
games 17 years ago, previous regimes, totally different rosters. I don't fall in line with that, because historical perspective, as I said on the channel earlier in the week, if that was the case, you know, Vanderbilt wouldn't have been a problem for Alabama last year if it was all about that. But no, I do keep going back to that though. It's a very talented Georgia team. It's not what I would call a team to this point that blows you away in terms of just one or two individuals. But collectively, again, Kirby, through all these years, he's got that thing where it can sustain year in and year out. The pieces change. The buy-in is never seemingly in question. And you don't think that if Alabama jumps out in this game Saturday night, 10, 14 points, that Georgia's just going to roll up. You worry about that with Alabama. If Alabama gets hit with some haymakers early,
right.
Georgia hadn't been that kind of team either this year. Georgia hasn't been a sprint out of the blocks team, even against subpar competition. So you think that maybe Alabama will be safe from that, and maybe Alabama can get out quick like it did a year ago. I think it's going to need to. I think it's going to need to, not only from a standpoint of the difficulty of winning on the road, but from a psyche perspective, I think this team needs good things to happen early.
I think you're right. I think Kalen DeBoer and Jeremy Bernard in comments this week have both, I think, mentioned the importance of getting off to a fast start. We've already seen Alabama get punched in the mouth and not respond in Tallahassee. Yep. So to your point, it's not something that they can afford again. And Georgia will fight when they're down, especially at home. Hadn't lost a home game, Travis, since 2019. The last team to knock off the Dogs between the Hedges, I think, was South Carolina going on 6 years ago. That's a hell of a streak.
That is a hell of a streak. You know, Georgia Tech really had Georgia on the ropes at the end of the 2024 season there in Athens. Probably should have won that game,
yeah.
Tech. But, yeah, they've been tough to beat anywhere. And they've been tough for any team to beat except the Alabama Crimson Tide. I mean, when you look at the numbers, they're hard to ignore. 9 out of the last 10 have gone Alabama's favor. Kirby Smart is what, 1-6 against Alabama?
Yeah, that's rough.
That's when you look at what Georgia's accomplished otherwise since 2017-ish, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah, I looked at this the other day. I can't remember exactly what the numbers were, but if you take out Kirby's games against Alabama and you include SEC championship games, his record against the SEC is 60-something and like 5. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. It's been to that level of dominance, but I think, you know, what we're going to go back to in this game, and you talked about it with that Georgia run game and having Keenan available for Alabama defensively and why that's so important. You know, Georgia's beat up a little bit on that offensive line right now too. A couple of guys at the guard and tackle positions. I think one is out. Ernest Green is out altogether already for Saturday night's game. Got a really talented true freshman guard in Juan Gaston that's been out or has tried to come back. He's beat up with some ankle issues. You got a new starter at center. It's Mike Bobo's son, Drew Bobo. I think he's a capable guy. I don't think he is Ryan Kelly or one of these kind of guys from the center position. So, you know, Alabama defensively, where it starts against that run right there between the tackles, I think Alabama's going to be okay. Chase, I like Nate Frazier. I like Nick Saban did. I can see why Nick Saban liked Nate Frazier. I see some Josh Jacobs and how he runs the football. Really tough guy with some edge. I think I get the sense for both of these defenses, kind of off tackle to the perimeter altogether is where a lot of this game might come down. Who is physical on the edges? Who is physical in the secondary? You know, who is going to come up and stonewall some people? And I tell you, Georgia's two inside linebackers are going to strike you. They're not going to catch.
No.
Those guys do not catch. So, Deonte Lawson, Justin Jefferson, you know, that rotation that Alabama has, they're going to have to answer the bell inside the tackles and pushing out towards the perimeter.
Yeah, the two inside linebackers for Georgia, C.J. Allen and Raylan Wilson, both single-digit number guys. They could play. They lead Georgia in tackles. They both got more than 20 apiece. They're 1-2 on the team and stops. And Allen especially is a guy who I know the NFL scouts are really big on. He's a problem. And then you got the Christian Miller kid on the defensive line, yeah. 310 pounds. If you think about those three, is it like a triangle? It's going to be rough sledding getting anything in the A or B gaps.
Yeah, I think for both offenses, it's going to be that way because of Keenan coming back. It should be that way from the Alabama perspective. And, you know, that kind of brings into question some wild cards defensively, I think, Chase, for both teams. I think Chris Cole for Georgia is that guy. You know, Jaylen Walker was an outstanding player. Moved on to the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL. I think a first round pick. Now they've got this young player in Chris Cole that they expect to be a real problem in the pass rush on Saturday night. And that's a lot of what I think it comes back to for Alabama, because we can talk about running the football. Georgia stylistically and Georgia in terms of its approach offensively is different than Alabama. You know, Georgia wants to run the football to really set the tone in a lot of ways. And as an extension of that, quick game, block you on the perimeter, create some explosive plays that way for Gunnar Stockton. But, you know, it's very much a complementary thing for Alabama in terms of running the football, or even situational, right, in a lot of ways. And so protecting Ty Simpson Saturday night is going to be of utmost performance. He's going to have to protect himself, too. You know, he's going to have to be able to process and get it on a big stage on the road. Because I think if Alabama can do that, and that's why Jam Miller coming back is big too, I think they'll have a chance, like Tennessee, to hit this Georgia back end for some chunks.
Well, Miller's the best pass protection running back on the Alabama roster, period. And so you would think that's going to help make a big difference for Ty Simpson for sure. I don't know that he's all that much better of a runner than his backups, but as an all-around player, he's the best they got. He's a big addition. I think the quick game, the passing game with the quick stuff, that's going to – and you've talked about how that's really an extension of the running game. That's what I think Ryan Grubb needs to do here, and I'm not saying you don't run the ball at all, but if you go – if Ryan Grubb goes – 20 for 80, 20 for 90 with the running backs, forget Simpson, just with the backs. That's enough if you hit them in the quick game too, right, with some quick, cheap completions for yardage that the Georgia defense has given.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think scrimmage yards for backs, and even throw the tight ends in there too, because off RPO, you'll see that sometimes with Quavis, even saw it with Caleb Edwards here in the last game or so, where, you know, they go zone read and then flip it out to the perimeter, and Jeremy Bernard and guys like that do a good job out in front of those. Those sort of easy yards or perceived easy yards for some of your complementary players. And for Alabama, that's the running back position. It is, at least on the ball, it's complementary. So you get 100+ scrimmage yards out of Jam Miller, out of however you sort through that, Rich Young, you know, the rest of that running back situation, I think you feel pretty good about it. Georgia ran for like 170 against Tennessee last time out. So, you know, yeah, I think in terms of balance, that's where I would be more concerned about the Georgia offense. I think throwing it and running it, and running it both traditionally and with a quarterback that at times they're comfortable with the design quarterback run, kind of like Alabama is with Ty Simpson, I think Mike Bobo can probably give you more to defend than maybe Alabama's going to be able to present to Georgia. But if the passing game is right in all the different aspects, that can be enough for Alabama maybe.
Ryan Williams has got to come through again. I don't think there's any question. They need some explosiveness from him. Jeremy Bernard can do that too. Jeremy Bernard can make some huge plays. He's not quite the athlete overall that Williams is, but he's proven he can be a big play guy in this offense. They do need to get some chunks. They're not going to grind it on Georgia the way Alabama certainly hopes Georgia won't grind it on them. I think, you know, you mentioned the possibility of getting over the top on this Georgia secondary. That's something Alabama's got to do, and you got to pick the right times to do it. You got to pick your spots. Midfield's always a good spot for a deep shot. Sometimes if you're way backed up in your own end, it can be a good time for a deep shot. But they got to flip the field with a couple of plays offensively.
It'll be interesting to see how Kirby goes about and Glenn Schumann go about defending Alabama's 12 personnel, because you've talked about it a lot in terms of Ryan Grubb, and he does really like the two tight end sets. But if you're not a real threat to run the football out of two tight end sets, why don't you just play more nickel against it? You know, I mean, that's where I'll a big nickel, not a pass down nickel. You know, I think Kirby's comfortable with his people that he probably feels like he can go base against two tight ends and be fine. But there are some things, as they say, within the game that'll be fascinating to watch play out. And then defensively for Alabama, I mean, what the hell kind of defense are we going to see from Alabama? I'm talking about just how they line up. You know, 17 games into this thing, I'm wondering how Alabama lines up on Saturday night. Are they going to be in the 3-3-5? They going to be in some 3-4 that we've seen of late? They going to play some dime on 3rd and 8? Good, Brad?
We're multiple, Pappy.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I have the biggest, you know, that's where I have the biggest pause, you know. Yeah. And, you know, for Alabama in this game, everybody's talking about the offense and matching up with that Georgia defense. And that's where I have the biggest concern for Alabama is Bobo isn't a guy, fortunately for Alabama, probably in some ways, who's big on reinventing the wheel, especially on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, you don't have to be Homer Smith or Bill Walsh to apparently figure out ways to get Alabama outflanked or misaligned or just light altogether based on some formations. And so that's what I'm watching first and foremost Saturday night, defensively for Alabama. When Georgia runs outside zone, let's say, as basic of a play as you can run towards off tackle, out towards the edge, will Alabama just have enough guys out there?
Right.
You know, will they set an edge in those situations? And that's before we get into, again, more of those easy touches. You know, Zach Branch, the transfer from USC, he's going to get some of those because he's explosive. You saw it against the touchdown he had against Tennessee. Reverses, quick game.
Yeah,
you know,
he's a good player. Taking on
blocks, maintaining leverage, fundamental defensive football. That's all I'd like to see from Alabama this week. I'm not expecting them to stonewall Georgia at this point, but just the numbers looking right, you know, and people actually striking on the defensive side and not catching, you know, and because that's really the lasting impression we've had of Alabama. We can talk about Wisconsin, we can talk about ULM, but that's what we really remember most. And look, you don't have Tommy Castellanos that you have to defend. I get it. Gunnar Stockton can run it. And I think situationally you're going to have to deal with that in red zone, things like that with him. But it shouldn't be as tough of a prep this week or the last 2 weeks for Alabama getting ready for this Georgia offense.
The perimeter defense has been inconsistent enough for Alabama that at this point, if it's not an obvious passing situation, you almost expect the ball to go to the wide side of the field, whether it's run or pass. Because you know, the setting the edge obviously is something Alabama struggled with. You go to the wide side of the field offensively, you can exploit that more than if you go short side. So that's something to watch for sure. And you know, Quay Rousseau is a big part of that. Safeties get involved with that, whoever it is.
Yonzi Pierre for me has been a top five guy on the defense through, I guess, 3 games for me. I mean, he shows up. Might be more pass rush than anything else, but yeah, I mean, this is, as you know, this is an NFL audition for a lot of guys. LT Overton, where you at? You know, you want to have you want to have that name called early next April or earlier?
This is the game.
This is one of those. You know, this is where you need to show up. Damani Jackson, guys like that. Keon Sabb.
No Deontay, question.
Tim Keenan. You know, this is where your next step in football, the evaluation process will be centered on these type of situations, right?
What do you make of Stockton as a passer? Because I think that's one area where I see this Georgia team being significantly different and frankly not quite as good, not quite as dangerous, I guess I should say, as it was with Beck.
Yeah, just when I'm ready to sort of look at Stockton as a poor man Stetson Bennett in just about every facet of quarterback play, he's not Eric Zeier, put it that way. But then in the fourth down against Tennessee, he drops it straight in the bucket to London Humphreys.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, I think he's got some good people to work with. But no, he's not a, he's certainly not a generational type of passer. That's not his game. I think his personality, though, is perfect for this Georgia team and how they're going to have to win, not just because of his skill set and maybe being limited in that way. I just think across the board, this Georgia team, I think he aligns with Mike Bobo pretty well, too. I think he probably aligns with Mike Bobo a lot better than Carson Beck did.
Right.
Carson Beck was a city kid from Jacksonville. You know, Mike was Thomasville, Georgia. Stand up. And so Stockton is a small town Georgia kid. You know, I think they align in a lot of ways in a good way with this team.
Stockton on the season, 63 of 89, which is 71% completion rate, thrown for 721 yards, averaging 8.1 per attempt, four touchdowns, no interceptions. He's been solid. He's not a take the game over kind of quarterback.
But he's not a lift all boats guy, is he?
Right, right. Rushing wise, he's thrown in 124 yards, only been sacked four times. But you know, if you're Kirby, if you're Bobo, I think they've got the pieces to work around him. I do like Zach Branch. Branch, by the way, is a pretty good punt returner too. I think he's averaging eight or nine yards per punt return. And, you know, before we go on to look around the SEC, Travis, let's hit on that. Georgia's got arguably the best special teams in the country. The Thorson kid is a hell of a punter. He's only punted seven times this year. I think he missed a game. He's out of seven punts this year, I think he's had four fair catches and three inside the 20. So that ain't bad, right? And then
Drew Miller's even averaging 48 a punt. You know, the other punter. So
crazy.
It's pretty impressive. I think you were going to get to Peyton Woodring.
Yeah. He's 4 for 4, right? On field goals, reliable guy as well. Georgia's rock solid in that special teams area, which is another reason I think where you've got to favor Georgia. If it ends up being close, special teams make the difference in a lot of close games, not just game winning field goals either.
No. And look, you know, I think Dowd's been pretty good when we've seen him to this point. And Connor Talty's been fine.
He's been all right.
He missed, the 53-yarder at Florida State? That's a tough ask for your first collegiate field goal attempt. But he's been okay otherwise. He was, you know, going into the Florida State game, he was probably the biggest question mark we thought at the time for this entire football team. And he's kind of moved away from that top spot. But no, it just seems like Georgia, when it comes to specialists, man, you can go back to Kevin Butler. They've always had really good kickers, really good punters. They've been good historically at getting after punts, blocking kicks, those kind of things. But it's hard to disagree with you in terms of what we know about their guys. And with Branch, as you noted, in the return game, that not being an advantage, you would think, for the Georgia Bulldogs.
Usually really good special teams can sit, and that goes back before Smart. That's just not just a Smart thing. And usually a dominant tight end. I don't know that they got that true dominator at tight end. I do like Oscar Delp. I think he's probably like a, you know, maybe a third day NFL draft pick kind of guy. So he's a quality player, not a guy who takes it over. His name's escaping me. That was
Lucky.
That No, I'm talking about
Bowers. Bowers.
Yeah, he's no Bowers.
No. Who is? And the thing about Bowers too was he was a really good blocker in space because he was so athletic. You know, they could put him out there, split him out to the field at 245 pounds, and he could go get DBs. You know, in space. Yeah. It's been, I think, a return to mere mortals at this point. I'm with you. Delp's a nice player, solid player. Lucky is a solid player. You know, I think that's kind of where Alabama's at too, with Josh Cuevas and Caleb Edwards, who I think does have a very bright future. And it sounds like Danny Lewis Jr. Could be good to go this week too for Alabama from a depth perspective at tight end. And, you know, Alabama has caught a little flack, I think, about it's not just the offensive line not being good enough in the run game. The tight ends, you know, haven't been exactly Michael Williams-like going back a decade or so when it comes to getting it done, especially in tighter formations and situations like that.
Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Talking about Alabama, Georgia, going to preview some other SEC games here in just a minute. Want to encourage our viewers and listeners to donate at ParkerCoversAlabama.com, 501c3 nonprofit supporting wheelchaired Alabama residents. Once again, you can donate at ParkerCoversAlabama.com. This is the Talking Tide podcast on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis, let's go ahead and jump around and see what we got around the SEC, the marquee game in the league, obviously going on in Athens, but elsewhere we've got Arkansas hosting the Fighting Irish, should be a good one. LSU is at Ole Miss, Auburn at Texas A&M, Tennessee at Mississippi State, Kentucky at South Carolina. Where we want to start here?
Hey, yes. How about all of the above? I mean, it is a crazy good weekend.
Yeah,
in the Southeastern Conference, really nationally too. I mean, you got games like Oregon at Penn State, but you know, Arkansas based on record, and even Notre Dame at 1-2 in the game, we probably should spend a lot of time on. But Arkansas is like that car crash that you can't help but kind of look over at. They are just so predictable. Memphis last week, you know, they're up 11, looking like they really can't be stopped offensively. But of course, Arkansas then shows you that absolutely they can be stopped, especially by Arkansas. And so that's a great game to kick off the day, though. I think they have a real shot in Fayetteville against a Notre Dame team that defensively isn't very good right now. They're already calling for first-year coordinator Chris Ash's job after three games in that role in South Bend. And then you kind of move throughout the day. I mean, Auburn, Texas A&M, that's tough for Auburn, right? Going on the road two straight weeks. Yeah. A&M coming off a bye week after the big win over Notre Dame. LSU Ole Miss is a varsity game in that same window. And it's just, there's no real shortage for it. What about you? What are you kind of looking forward to other than Tide and Dogs?
You know, that LSU Ole Miss game is always fun. They don't like each other too much. So it sometimes that game can get a little spicy. I think maybe it was it 2 years ago that they scored like 100 points between them? Remember they had that wild shootout? Can't remember if that was, I think that might have been 2023, but that's a pretty wild series for sure. And
Billy Cannon.
Yes.
Yeah. They'll show that highlight for us on Saturday, won't they?
Looking forward to that one. Does Mississippi State hang with Tennessee? Mississippi State sitting 4-0. They've beaten Arizona State. Yeah. What about the Bulldogs, Travis? Are you buying or are you selling right now on Jeff Levy?
I'm buying them for what they have to work with in year two. I mean, they were terrible last year. I mean, personnel-wise, they were awful.
Yes.
But they still haven't won an SEC game under Jeff Levy. And I would feel better about this for Mississippi State if Tennessee had gone straight from that gut-wrenching loss to Georgia to playing this game the next week. But instead, Tennessee caught a bit of a breather with UAB, kind of was able to collect itself at home. So that gives me a little bit of a reason for pause. But, you know, Blake Shapen, the quarterback for Mississippi State, they're playing better defensively under Coleman Hutzler. The coordinator previously at Alabama as a position coach. So I'm not ready to pick Mississippi State, but I do think it'll be four quarters. I mean, it'll be tight late, I think.
I like Tennessee, but I'm with you. I think that game's going to be close. I think Mississippi State's got enough momentum and enough talent. Blake Shapen's playing some good football for them right now. Remember, he went down last year, and the Van Buren kid went in there and really did well for a freshman, I thought, under some really difficult circumstances. And then at the end of the season, he hit the portal, which was, talk about a low point. I mean, he looked like the guy that they were going to be able to build that program around, and poof, gone like magic into the season.
That happens. You know, it's like the David Copperfield school of quarterback, you know, tricks, how they can disappear these days for sure.
All right. That is going to do it for us here on the Talking Tide podcast. As always, be sure to tune in for the Sunday Nighter when we recap the Crimson Tide and the Bulldogs. Once again, that game, 6:30 p.m. Central Time, 7:30 Eastern over in Athens. Yours truly will be over there leaving Friday, coming back Sunday just in time to jump on with Travis and talk about it here on Talking Tide. Look forward to talking to all our listeners and viewers at that time.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in live. And as Jay said, more coming right here on Ryer on YouTube. Thanks again.